Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show Live. Here we go. We got a good one on tap for you tonight, folks. So get ready, kick back, and enjoy as we get ready to have Jim Benvie fresh out of federal penitentiary. And you won't believe what happened. His story is incredible. We'll be back shortly. If I can get this to play. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio.
There we go. That's the one we want.
We are 241 years past the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com, the official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I wonder if that's coming over the radio. I can't tell. Ladies and gentlemen, we are got a great show on tap for you tonight. Old friend of the show, he used to come on and report back from the border while they was building the wall for Trump. And got into a whole bunch of stuff. Turn my camera around. I guess he got himself into some stuff and got set up, framed. You know how it goes. Political prisoners. They've been a thing for a while now. Political prisoners. It's nothing new. I got to move this around here a little bit, folks. I'm still working on getting this new equipment worked into the show. But you see, we have the Spotify catastrophe over Joe Rogan. and I think it's kind of funny that nobody cares about Neil Young or Joni Mitchell. I don't know. I don't think we should be canceling anybody for what they say, even Whoopi. Okay, she's got a right to her opinion. Might not like it, but whatever. But they fired Roseanne, so they need to fire Whoopi. That, just to be fair, the young girl there as the Disney girl, they fired her too. And she wasn't even saying anything bad. But, you know, what's fair for them is not fair for you. You know, you got Brett Kavanaugh. Let's look at this example. Brett Kavanaugh. A vague accusation, a memory that may have, something might have happened 30, 40 years ago. I don't know. Let's drag him and his whole family through the mud for however long it was. Fast forward, Andrew Cuomo. I'm sorry. All right, resign, go away. You're okay. No grilling in the media. No attacks, no bullshit. Just straight up. It's okay, Andrew. Just go away. Disappear. It's crazy. You know, you got O'Biden stumbling and bubbling through his presidency. Kamala Harris, the border czar, is doing nothing to stop the tide at the border. I don't even think she's been to the border, but maybe one time. And didn't even, like, had some bogus press conference and took off. She's doing nothing on the border. Nothing. It's ridiculous. So, you know, we've been talking about the border on this show for a long, 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 long time. Nothing new. You've had everybody on the show, you know, Angel Parents and Brian Colfage and We Build the Wall, all those folks, Mr. Ronnebeck on the show, raising money to protect our country because the government won't do it. You won't let us build a wall, we'll build our own wall. So they did. And, you know, I guess that one thing led to another and they got some charges against them, but it's all going to be squashed in court of law. We're going to get all the updates and the details. I'm sure that our guest this evening has that. So without further ado, I'm going to bring our guest in today, ladies and gentlemen. You may remember him being on the show, like I said, from back in the day, reporting live from the wall, all the shenanigans that were being going on and supporting the border guys down there and trying to help them out. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Mr. Jim Benvie going to join us.
How you doing, Mark?
Good, good. Welcome to the show. It's been a while. Been through some trials and tribulations over the last couple of years. You know, we've been talking for a long time now.
We have. And so everybody knows, if you know who I am, I just got out of prison less than a week ago. I was one of the first people politically attacked with the weaponized Department of Justice. Those of you who followed me, you probably remember back around the time that President Trump shut the government down, December of 2018, to build the wall. He wanted the funds. I went down with a small group of volunteers, and we went down and started documenting and really got involved in exposing the lies that were being told by what I refer to as the open border mafia. And that is showing through pictures and live videos. I camped down on the border for almost 6 months, and we were there 24 hours a day. This was right after Governor Grisham ordered the National Guard off the border, as well as Governor Newsom also ordered the National Guard off the border, because they said that Trump was manufacturing the crisis and that there was no crisis and there was nothing to see. And so we went down there, and really with the help of a lot of patriots who shared the videos and got the word out, we made more than just a little splash. We ended up going around the whole United States with the videos, but then they started going overseas and everybody got a hold of them, because there has never been comprehensive video like the video we took, and we journaled it live and in real time. Well, obviously the open border mafia did not like that, and they were doing everything in their power to continue their theme of putting illegals first and Americans last. And in doing so, they openly called out to Congress that Trump had his army on the border, a bunch of racist vigilantes, more or less, who are scared of the coloring of America, as terms they used, and that we were holding women and children fleeing poverty at gunpoint when they crossed the wall. Of course, anybody who watched the videos may know that it's all there. That never happened. But nevertheless, they had to rattle and lie because we were discrediting them. We were putting them in the hot seat. People were calling and saying, well, I thought Trump was a liar. I thought he was only building the wall because it was about vanity. I didn't know it was about that we really had a problem on the border. And so to counter those phone calls, the last thing they needed was citizens, boots on the ground, bringing them real-time evidence that there was, in fact, a problem. So as you know, as the story goes, anybody who reads the paper, they separated me, attacked me, and through a rogue domestic terrorist FBI agent out of Albuquerque who was assigned specifically to find any potential crimes within the hundreds of hours of video. So they think about this, Mark. They had a guy from the FBI who was told to go through my hundreds of hours of video to look for potential crimes for a prosecutor to charge. Who does that? Okay. Who does that?
Yeah.
I mean, when there's a crime, you call 911. There's a victim. There's somebody, you know, oh, here we go. Okay, we're, a crime happens, you call the law enforcement, they go and investigate it. In this case, they were instructed to look for crimes and to do it on a video, not because there was any witnesses, there was anybody there. This was just a pure hatred for the Trump administration, for the Constitution. And I say that because you have to hate the Constitution if you're going to go after an American citizen for exercising the freedom of speech. I have a right. You have a right. Everybody listening to this show has a right. If they see something that isn't right, like an invasion, and that's what I called it then, and that's what I'll call it now. And now it's gotten worse. Everything we said back in 2018 before I got arrested, when I was accused of being a conspiracy theorist, okay,
right.
because I
yeah.
said the open border mafia would allow illegals to flood in, and there would be nothing you could do to stop it, and that's exactly where we're at right now. Thank God back then we had President Trump. Trump put those policies in place. We saw those policies working shortly after my arrest, okay, and they worked right up until the reign of our little lumpy bag of oatmeal, Joe Biden. And
right.
it's just absolutely unbelievable that, and I said it back then, of course, now I think it's starting to resonate more with people, that we have our alphabet agencies, good portions of it, have been weaponized against people sitting at home. And, you know, if you're somebody out there who's got a loud voice, if you're somebody out there who's creating waves, because not because you're anti-government, but because you don't agree with the administration the way it is, destroying our country, and because you don't want to allow that to happen, and because maybe you have an alternative view of what government should be, that doesn't mean you're anti-government, okay?
Right.
So, you know, people are being classified as domestic terrorists. You know, they'll say anything and do anything. And the reason they use the feds to do it is because the feds have expanded powers that the state can't use, such as conspiracy, RICO. They've got hearsay rules. They've got all kinds of stuff that they can use at their disposal that the states can't use. And it would make it virtually impossible to prosecute some of the crimes that they've been charging people with. And now we're going from a small handful of us political prisoners to now you've got a ton of political prisoners. And it's amazing that America has gone so far south in such a short period of time. It didn't take this guy long at all after he got elected to tank the country, Mark. It's unreal. I mean, Let's talk about me, okay? I go to prison for 2 years over this. There's no victims. There's nothing. The trial transcripts are all there, okay? When you're not allowed to bring in witnesses, when you're not allowed to, you know, bring in relevant evidence, and you have a judge and you have prosecutors that are all radical, extreme, progressive, destroy America type individuals, okay? You go in there and it's a circus, okay? So it doesn't matter what you could produce for evidence. It doesn't matter what you could say, because they know when they arrest you, this is how we're going to get this guy. And that's why the feds have a 98% conviction rate, you know, and that's what forces a lot of people to plead guilty. Sometimes it's not even because they're guilty. Sometimes it's just the mere fact that, hey, you know what, you're not going to beat the feds. They're going to get you. They got more money than you do. And unless you have $1.5 million to defend yourself, you know, you're probably not going to get anywhere. Especially if it's politically motivated. And unfortunately, that's what it was. I spent the last 2 years, because the federal prison really loves the COVID. You know, they really, they want to keep everybody safe from COVID. So unfortunately, I was locked in a bathroom-sized cell many, many months at a time, allegedly being protected from COVID. They would feed me underneath the door, not even opening the door to give me a meal, but feeding me, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And, you know, three times a day, they were afraid to have people out to cook. They would let us out three times a week, 15 minutes for a shower, back into the cell. And, And then we would get like 2 days a week, we'd get two 10-minute phone calls if they were allowing phone calls, because sometimes they felt the COVID was so dangerous that they couldn't let us out to use the phone because, God forbid, if somebody got picked something up from the phone, even though that's not even what the science says, we were in that position, Mark. So it's a very serious thing that we have going on in this country. And, you know, you bring up the wall people that I was there with. We built a wall in Sunland Park, New Mexico. And you bring up Steve Bannon. And that's interesting, too. He got a pardon. The other people did not get a pardon. I think that was strictly because Trump figured that he was going to be able to stay in office. Okay. So,
right.
But what happened is Colfage and a lot of the other ones, they're still charged. They're still rolling through with prosecuting them for conspiracy. Okay. The thing with conspiracy is you don't need to have any evidence that anything happened. It's
right.
A weird charge. It was never meant to be used the way it is, but they're using it again, going after Colfage and these guys strictly because of their political affiliation. It has nothing to do with the fact that a crime was committed. It has to do with the fact that we got to get rid of these We Build the Wall people, because they're not just building wall. They're showing people and they're educating people on what the real crisis is at the border. And so
right.
they had to get rid of them. Okay. They had to shut them up, and they've done it. They've shut them up. And as far as Manning goes, they're so narrowed in on Trump's pardon that they're trying to line the pardon up with what they charged him for on the disposition paper, so that they're going to leave room so that if they want to come back or they figure there's another way to charge him for the same thing because he hasn't been to trial yet, they're going to say the pardon doesn't cover that. And so, keen on that. This is what they're doing. This is the current administration, the crooked administration you have running the District of New York there, the lady who ran on the fact that she said, I am going to arrest Donald Trump, and I'm going to get him in handcuffs. And
right.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Trump kind of expressed on Saturday at the Texas rally that's kind of what he's feeling. He's feeling that pressure from her because, again, they're looking for anything they can find. And, you know, and maybe there was a little bit of inflation of real estate. Not a big deal. Most people don't go to jail for that. You pay your loan, whatever.
Right.
But you know what? This these guys are on a witch hunt. They find one eye that's not dotted. They're going to try to take him down and put him in handcuffs before the midterms. And same thing with Bannon. If they can't get him on the wall, they're going to get him on obstruction. The same thing with Kayleigh Enright. They want to get her for obstruction. You got Mark Meadows that they're trying to screw with. They want to get all these people lined up to have a big old nice midterm. We're taking you out of the way. We're going to put everybody in jail. Lock them up, you know. And
we still have DeSantis. If that happens, we still have hope with DeSantis.
We do. And I was just going to say that. I was just going to say DeSantis will be just as good as Trump. And if Trump is taken out of the picture and doesn't run along with Trump as vice president, he'll be a heck of a president to run. And, you know, and then we just have to wait 2 years. Hopefully we get the right people during midterms. Hopefully enough Americans are waking up to this and realize that this is not the same country you're living in right now that you were, you know, even 2 years ago. Okay. You may not have liked some of the things Trump was doing. Maybe you didn't like him at all.
Right.
But even for those people that didn't like him at all, you cannot look in the mirror. Yeah. You can't look in the mirror and say you feel safe. You can't look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm really happy about the possibility of double-digit inflation in the near future. You can't look and say, hey, you know what? I'm really glad that we have such a strong position comes to how the world views us, okay? You know, this guy with his Afghanistan debacle. And,
oh, my God.
And now
–
if
you would have told me even during the Obama administration that I would be witnessing this, I would be like – I think we have entered the twilight zone.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I would never
believe
it.
Yeah. Well, and And you know, the thing is, Mark, there are people out there, you know, they really did a good job dividing the country. I mean, there is a lot of radical extreme leftists that really, you know, and it was on simple things like he's a racist, or, you know, or he had a couple ex-wives, or, you know, the Stormy Daniels, or he's a Russian spy, or, you know, he's colluding with the Ukraine, or, you know, just all of these non-relevant sideshows that allowed a lot of people to think that, hey, man, maybe this guy isn't the right guy. And I think, and I hope, you know what, Mark, we got to have faith in God. I hope,
amen,
and I pray that enough people are going to wake up before things really hit the fan during the midterms. And I hope that they not only really look into securing the vote, and that gets put into a lot of people's mind, because that is important, okay? There's so many, you know, you say the same thing, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, okay?
Yeah.
All right. We don't know exactly where that fire is or how it started, but we know that if we don't get to the bottom of it, if we don't do something about it, if nothing changes, okay, we're going to be in the same boat, okay? Because you're going to have another situation, a new variant of COVID, and they'll probably call it the ballot box COVID. Yeah, the ballot box version, okay?
Yeah.
And then, the ballot box version. And, you know, they'll do the same thing. And I think, you know, we need to, you know, I pray that enough people look around and they see what's going on. Look at January 6th. Look at it objectively.
Yeah.
You know, you hear some of these Republicans that are supposed to be, you know, fighting the good fight for the country. And, you know, they act
Marjorie
like,
Taylor
you know.
Sticking up for them good.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal. They act like these guys planned on going in to overthrow the government. And the problem I have with that is, number one, nobody was armed. Not even the Oath Keepers were armed. Okay?
Nope.
So they did a bad job. If that was their plan, if Stuart Rhodes, who I think is a pretty smart guy, actually, I met him. Okay? They're charging him with sedition. They're trying to charge him for the whole thing. It's like if this guy was, you know, former military, okay, he's a constitutional lawyer. He's not dumb by any means. If his plan was to overthrow the government, okay, I'm pretty sure he would have had to have more than 7 or 8 guys, don't you think?
Yeah.
And do you think they would have at least had guns? Do you think they went into the Capitol thinking, oh, there's no security here, the National Guard is here? Okay, here's what I heard. You want to hear what I heard on this deal, Mark? Here's the deal I heard with the Oath Keepers. What I heard is that they had an event on the 5th, and you know what they do. They go out and they protect events so that smaller people, if they want to do the freedom of speech thing, they can exercise their freedom of speech without fear of some bigger guy coming over and smashing them out. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they offer perimeter security, okay? And that's what they were doing January 6th. But what happened is they heard reports that there was somebody potentially injured, or maybe a couple people injured inside the Capitol. And so there was a few guys that went into the Capitol because they have medical experience and equipment. Stuart Rhodes never went into the Capitol building, ever.
Right.
Never even set his foot in there the entire time.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's just like they tried to impeach Trump with it, and it never ends.
Well, we had a guy on the show here who was claiming to have been recruited by the FBI to infiltrate Oath Keepers, and he said, no, I'm not doing that. And he videotaped them trying to con him into, you know, going in against the Oath Keepers. Yeah, and he denied him. He said no.
Yeah, I believe it.
And
yeah, no, I believe it. And, you know, they'll use the excuse, well, you know, we're just trying to be proactive in preventing domestic terrorism. And, of course, you know, you're labeled, if the SPLC labels you, Southern Poverty Law Center labels you a hate group, or, you know, or you get the ACLU after you and they feel that you're fundamentally an extremist, if you will, then that tag is assigned to you. I mean, it's amazing that some of us can even go to the airport and get on an airplane, you know?
Right.
Because the way it's going is, If you think about what the end goal of the Biden administration is, or shall we say the Obama-China administration, if you think about what the end goal is to eliminate and eradicate, number one, God from the country, but number two, you do that to destroy everything else that's been built. And so what they want to do is slowly destroy it so that they can look like they're saving it, okay? And they're creating fictitious enemies. Then they're using their enforcement powers to make those fictitious enemies, the good guys, look bad, even though they're not really bad. And it's right. It's a psychological warfare, but the idea is if you can get enough of the resistance out of your way, then you can have absolute power to bring in the soft landing. And if you look at the stock market, which is extremely overvalued right now, you look at house prices, extremely overvalued. You know, you look at the call for digital currency, not Bitcoin, but digital currency. You know, you look at the IRS proposals that Biden's making. Oh, we got to have biometrics. We got to, you know, get a picture of you. You're going to have to be identified before you file and walk and talk. I mean, this is all just part of implementing and taking away the freedom, the censorship that's going on with you know, everything. You can't say anything anymore without getting removed or being called culturally insensitive. It's a different world we live in, man. When I went in 2 years ago, I never would have imagined when I got out the stuff I've been reading the last week. And maybe, Mark, I sound like I'm a little bit behind. Maybe you're going, Jim, that's old news. It could possibly be because I haven't been completely 100% in touch with everything that's happened.
Right.
Because of the lockdown situation I've been in. But I can tell you that I'm glad to be talking to you. I'm glad to be talking to your listeners. I'm glad to be a free man. I appreciate everybody who supported me, I know, before I was in there and after I've been in there and while I was in there. You know, it's a tough thing to be taken out of the game, to sit on the sidelines, and, you know, there's nothing you can do. You can't help yourself. You can't help anybody else. And, you know, you just have to sit and watch what happens and hope that when you get out, everything is in order. And I know the guys that are in D.C. and those holding cells waiting for their trials for January 6th, and even Stuart Rhodes, who's now in Oklahoma, and all the other guys that the FBI and others have taken out of the game, I know what they're going through, and it's a really tough thing. You know, it'd be better if the states did it because at least they would be able to get out of their cells and have at least a little bit of normalcy. It's a very psychologically torturing thing when they lock you down for months at a time in your cell. That's usually done for disciplinary behavior. You know, the Geneva Convention says prisoners of war are only allowed to be in isolation for 15 days at a time. So our American prisons are full of people that, you know, and of course they're doing it under the guise of the super flu. And that's a problem. So, yeah.
And they do things like solitary confinement with no charges. They're sitting there with no official charges, still awaiting arraignment, crying out loud.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, well, when you get arrested nowadays and you go to jail, there's a standard, depending on whether you're a federal prisoner or a state prisoner. In the state, it's usually 7 to 12 days that you get quarantined. Okay, so right when you get arrested, before you see anybody, go to any pods or anything, they're going to shove you in there, and that's even with no charges. So, and if you're a fed, you're going to be quarantined for 21 days before you even, you know, maybe get the opportunity to get out. But the feds are so tight right now that, I mean, occasionally you might get 2 or 3 weeks out because nobody pops positive for COVID. But people were always popping positive. We knew it was all false results. We had one time they told us we had 700 cases on the campus. And I'm not even kidding you, Mark. There was maybe a couple people that had mild coughs. You know, we didn't have anybody with underlying conditions. Nobody died. We didn't even have anybody that actually went to the hospital. So unlike the stories you hear where people are going to the hospital, we didn't have that. But we certainly got treated as though. Go ahead.
Check it out 1 second real fast. I just want to say a quick shout out to my friend from work, Millerod.
Okay.
What's happening, my brother? Welcome to the live feed. Good to see you. He's newly back on Facebook. So there he is in the live feed. Welcome, my brother. We
What's
worked together
Miller
for
Rod?
10 years. Yes. He's there in the
How
live
you doing,
feed.
Boss?
Yes, indeed. Hold on. Yes, indeed. It's the bottom of the hour. We are talking with Jim.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
And Jim is newly released from a federal bid. Tell folks a little bit of how you wound up even getting in the federal bid. I remember the story and everything, but you guys were kind of railroaded trying to help out the Border Patrol, round up people that were sneaking across the border, getting around the newly built wall and things like that. Tell the folks how you wound up getting in trouble.
Yeah, we were like I said, we went down there, and the objective was to document the crisis because President Trump had shut the government down, and there was a big argument over the wall that he was just building it for vanity and that there was a manufactured immigration crisis and there was no reason to build a wall, and that there was no reason where previous governors had implemented the use of the National Guard to support an already duressed and strained Border Patrol. So in a political move, after Trump shut the government down, they removed the National Guard, who was offering civilian type support to the Border Patrol agents who were duressed. In other words, the National Guard wasn't down there saying, hey, you can't come into the country, because they don't have the power to do that. But what they were doing is they were an extra set of eyes and ears. They would take people and drive them to processing centers. They would, if somebody needed a hospital or medical attention, they would help them there. And most importantly, they were offering feeding support, food support, shelter support, and then most importantly, if somebody had tried to or a group had tried to attack a Border Patrol agent, or, let's say you had a group coming through with guns, the National Guard would have been there, and then in that role, they would have backed up the Border Patrol. But nevertheless, they ripped that support away from the agents, and they made a mockery of it. They made a mockery of the Border Patrol. They made a mockery of our border. They insulted the intelligence of the American people. They undermined the American people. They betrayed their oath of office. And our thinking was, we have a right as Americans in the Constitution to protect ourselves from invasion, okay?
Yeah.
Our thinking was that we'll go down here and we will offer that assistance in the way that the Border Patrol tells us they want it. Okay, so we're a few guys. We're certainly not the National Guard, okay? But we'll go down there and we'll document this thing. We'll get it on video. And hopefully enough Americans see the feed, they share it, and the more people that see it, the more people that are going to question what they're hearing on CNN and other fake news networks. And then we have real hardcore evidence, right? Boots on the ground. You can't argue with a live video, right? We went down there. And that's exactly what we did. We talked with the Border Patrol agents. We met with them. We said, is there an area where we would be most utilized to observe and report the behavior of what's going on? And, do you want us to just wait for you to come and follow them, or do you want us to ask them to sit down? What do you want us to do? So the best situation, in the words of the Border Patrol, was, is that if you ask them to sit down and they sit down willingly, then the beautiful, sit there with them, call us up and wait there, and we'll get them. We'll pick them up. Well, unfortunately, that got misconstrued as the fact that we were doing the actual enforcing of the law, that we were arresting
right.
people, that we were detaining people against their will and, whatever. I mean, again, this is all political, so they spin it any way they want. But notice, Mark, I wasn't carrying a gun on the border. Okay, I was carrying a camera. I had camera equipment. I had Wi-Fi. Okay?
Right.
Other guys in the group hid their face so they didn't get photographed by the cartel. In New Mexico, and it's an open carry state, so you can carry a firearm, which I've always said is a very smart thing to do when you're in cities like Annapolis that are next to Annapolis that are controlled by the cartel. Everybody that comes through, as much as you get told over and over that these are just people that, you know, they're all in the same boat, you know, escaping a terrible situation. That's not true of everybody coming across. There's always that, that you know, chance that you're going to encounter somebody who's not playing. And we hear about that all the time, where Border Patrol agents get shot at, people end up dead, people end up killed on the other side of the border. So there are real dangers down there. And we just wanted to make sure that we could show in that sector, in the great El Paso sector, Border Patrol, my hat's off to them. They are wonderful people. But we wanted to make sure, after seeing what exactly they were dealing with firsthand, that we didn't leave them. We didn't leave them hanging to be out there by themselves at 2 o'clock in the morning and have armed escorted cartel smugglers bringing human traffickers or human trafficking, child trafficking, sex trafficking, all of that through the border in the middle of the morning, people carrying backpacks, one guy in a truck who could be 30 miles away or 30 minutes or more away from any potential backup. We didn't want that guy sitting out there. We didn't want him there by himself. So we did the best we could to just simply be there as a deterrent to any other types of behavior, okay? And document it at the same time. We wanted to get the footage because obviously we're not the Border Patrol. We're not trying to be the Border Patrol. What we're trying to say is, look, people, look over here. We employ these people. We pay taxes. We pay their salaries to protect us. We train them, okay? And you have people in Congress that are mocking the job that these people are doing. And now you have a president of the United States who's mocking the job that they're doing, who's saying they should be eliminated and abolished. And, you know, it's just the most amazing thing. America never voted for open borders. We never voted to get rid of our Border Patrol. We never voted to abolish ICE, okay? And we certainly never voted to quit enforcing the immigration laws that are already on the books. Okay.
Let me see if I got this right. You went down there, folks. This is in terms so that people like me who are kind of brain dead, if there are any of you out there listening, this is the brain dead version. These guys went down there, asked the Border Patrol, "Hey, how can we help?" Border Patrol said, "Do this." They did that. And they got arrested for it, in a nutshell. And the man.
Yeah, I got arrested. Yep.
And with video, video footage of them helping, doing what's right, not armed, asking people to sit down, bringing them food and water, helping them because they just traveling in the desert. You know, basically Mexico's like dirt for 2,000 miles, and they're helping, and they went to prison for this. It's crazy.
Well, I went to prison, Mark, but here's the thing I was going to say, the point I was going to make for everybody is that, look, the guys in my videos that had guns, the guys that wore masks that were hiding themselves from the cartel and carried guns because they openly could. I never carried a gun. I carried a phone. I was the only one that was targeted as far as for impersonating the Border Patrol because I had the phone. I was the target. It wasn't about getting everybody off the border. They wanted my feed shut down. They wanted me silenced. And then the point I'm trying to make is that they never brought up at court, well, who were those other guys in the video? Well, what were they doing there? They didn't care. This was strictly about the truth being put out. It's almost like them attacking a whistleblower. The video feed was going out. They didn't like what was being shown. The open border mafia, Congress people, the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, all of the little operatives, the left-wing media, they couldn't have this out here because of American people like you and the people who listen to your show, the people who follow my feed. These are a silent majority, man. I'm doing this little Facebook feed, and I'm looking. I'm like, holy man, we got 700,000 people on here. I'm like, whoa, that wasn't me. Okay, you don't realize that, but they did. It made an impact. It was like, oh my gosh, families would tune in at night and they're watching this and they're like, this is unreal. Because the Border Patrol cannot film their activities. They're not allowed to go live. They're not allowed to show what they're doing. So here you have this blacked out silent border, and all of a sudden they're arguing about manufacturing crises, Trump building a wall for vanity, and they just pulled the National Guard off the border. And here we come, this little group covering this little two-mile area of El Paso and New Mexico and showing the daily crossings in this little two-and-a-half-mile area. So it didn't leave a whole lot for people to start saying, wait a minute, if Jim and his group are only in this two-and-a-half-mile area and we got 2,200 miles of border, what else is going on?
Right.
Okay. And so people started, they didn't have video to, you know, Grisham could get up or Veronica Escobar could tell everybody on national TV, well, Trump is making this up. And then over on Fox News, you'd have video from my Facebook feed. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We got to get rid of that. And
right.
So that was what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is that they targeted a citizen. In this case, it was me, but it could have been anybody. It could be any one of you that are out there doing anything.
You know what I say all the time? Look what they did to the president. If they could do that to the sitting president of the United States, nobody is safe from their cartel-like weaponized departments of justice and the fat, bumbling idiots and the CIA and the other agencies that are probably listening right now. Hi, guys.
Right. You might as well say hi. How you doing?
You know.
Yep. And it's so scary
to see. I was just talking recently to somebody about the Lavoie-Finicum incident because, of course, on January 26th was the sixth anniversary of the murder of Lavoie-Finicum. And what they failed to ever report about that is four FBI agents went down for that because they broke the law.
They did.
But they don't talk about
that.
They cover that up and they say it's a bunch of fringe extremists, right-wing lunatics with Second Amendment guns and Bibles.
Right.
Meanwhile, it's just
peace-loving
citizens who just want to live free and live in peace and be able to raise their family, have their cattle, and do what they do to earn a living, which everybody in this nation has a right to earn a living and pursue happiness. Liberty is the cornerstone of our nation, and people are just getting squashed. And the courts, the Eighth Amendment, Fourth Amendment, all their amendments are getting squished when they go to these courts. Like no due process at all. Let's see, cruel and unusual punishment. That could be described as 23 hours in a cell or 23 3/4 hours in a cell and 15 minutes a day to walk up and down the tier and take a shower. Cruel and unusual punishment.
Yep.
No bail. Sorry, no bail. You don't have any charges yet, but no bail.
You go to New York and you kill somebody, they'll let you out. Then you can go commit another crime, come back, and they'll let you out again. You know, it's unreal. And you got people with minor trespassing charges. I'd love to see, you know, any video evidence other than the guy who shot, what's her name, Ashley Babbitt. I'd love to see video evidence of anything more violent than that. And that guy goes on 60 Minutes, wants to be considered the victim, and then declares himself a hero.
Right.
I'm the hero of the day.
Yeah.
That made me sick. Yeah. Made me sick. One of the worst TV segments I've ever witnessed in my life, ever.
Well, this is what I've been saying all along. There was 75, 80 million Americans in this country who felt like they were cheated out of an election. And sometimes when you read the Constitution, you find things in there like, if you no longer feel the government is representing you, it is your duty to cast them out and elect the government that will. So maybe some of these folks were feeling just constitutional about things. I don't know, but you know?
Yeah.
And I know a lot of those folks down there are constitutionalists. They all
and they
have
were, and that's yeah. You're right. You're exactly right. It's you're right. I mean, you know, and the thing is that I didn't see any level of violence in any of the videos that even raised to anything maybe other than disturbing the peace. I mean, let's look at Antifa. Let's look at Black Lives Matter. What they did, they destroyed the country.
535 riots across the country in the summer.
Yes, and people died. A lot more than one or five. A lot of people died. A lot of people were seriously injured.
They barricaded agents and officers in a building and then tried to burn it down.
To burn a federal building with federal officers inside, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And did it on live video. Shoot fireworks at them. Yeah.
Yep.
It just, and you look at that, and then I look at the video of people holding flagpoles on January 6th, and Coy Griffin, the Cowboys for Trump, was up on top praying. They hit him hard. Oh, he's a domestic terrorist because he's up. He's praying for the president, okay? Well, maybe, all right, yeah, we'll slap him on the wrist because he was up on top of the rotunda. I get it, okay, that's probably, you know, but that doesn't even merit anything more than probably a citation. And you know what? If somebody gave me a citation for doing something like that, I deserve it, okay? That's a risk I take. I know, okay, here you go. But were any of these people truly motivated to go in there and kill members of Congress? The answer is no. And I would challenge anybody out there, if you can prove me different or if you have a video, send it to my Facebook at Jim Benvey. I'll take a look at it. I'm open-minded, but I just don't see it. I don't see it.
Don't forget squad member Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez feared for her life on January 6th as she was not even in the area.
Yeah, I know. And you know, they want to play these kind of like Mr. Rogers in the Land of Make-Believe scenarios.
Right.
And the problem, you know, and here's the thing, Mark. We'll talk about something that people don't talk about. Why is it that we got a party that talks a big game when they're on TV and they're in Congress or they get the spotlight for a minute? They talk a really big game about what they're going to do and, you know, how they see the, you know, what's wrong with Washington or like they understand what happened to Trump was wrong. But then you get a situation like this, okay? And they jump right in there with the Democrats, jump right in there with the radicals, and do absolutely nothing to support their own base. They do nothing to support the people. They know what happened, but they're out there condemning it. They think people are stupid.
They should have been standing up. They should have been standing tall for the 75, 80 million people that voted Donald Trump into office the first time, and the even more that voted for him the second time. They should have been fighting for them.
Yeah, because let's face it, Donald Trump didn't make the world an unsafe place. The reason we have more crime right now is because of, not just because of Biden, but because of those incumbent Democrat governors in California, Oregon, Washington State, Michigan. You can go right down to New York. All the places you saw the rioting in the videos, New Mexico, I mean,
the Chicago mayor, Lightfoot. Oh, my God, that lady is out of control.
Yeah, Lightfoot. Beetlejuice. Yeah. It's unreal.
Beetlejuice.
This is the mayor. Beetlejuice. Just want you to know if you want to come and attack the Capitol here, it's okay because I'll have a fundraiser to raise money for you to bail you out. Just like Kamala Harris. Oh, those poor Black Lives Matters people burning down. Say, oh, I'm just going to let you know we're raising money and we're going to get your bail money. You're going to get out of there. But, those Trump supporters, they're a danger to the community. You can't let them out. You can't give them bail. They're trying to overthrow the government and, you know, they're going to blow up the White House and the Capitol. And I mean, they make it sound like ISIS came to town, you know. And
you actually have Madonna on audio video saying, I have thought about blowing up the White House. This is Madonna. This is one of their liberal heroes threatening to do that. And that's unbelievable that any American would threaten to do that. That is absolutely horrendous. But it's okay because it's Madonna. She's like a virgin.
It is. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she's an innocent little thing. It's Yeah, it's a state of mind, Mark. And then this new thing that was introduced to me while I was in prison, is it critical race training or critical race theory? CRT. Okay,
yeah.
I'm in the most racist.
Hallelujah.
Right. I'm in the most racist place you can be. I'm in prison, okay? If you ever have never been exposed to racism, go to prison, okay? You're going to get separated because you got to pick a color, you got to pick a gang, you got to pick somebody because when it all goes down, you can't be there by yourself. You got to have somebody protecting you. So you got to be somebody or something. And I was thinking about communism because I always use prison and was always joking about prison. This is the model of communism. We're living like communists here. Clothes, the three meals a day. Everybody gets the same stuff, the same terrible, horrific medical, same dentist who will only pull your teeth and not fix them. Okay. So I'm like, and then the critical thing you have to have is you got to have division because you don't want everybody to get together and unite because then they're way more powerful than the people that are trying to control them because their numbers are small.
Yeah.
So, you know, racism goes right in there with communism. And I don't think a lot of people see that connection, but it's there. You know, you look at Marxism, communism, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. It's all about taking your freedom away. It's all about segregating you and getting you to do things like the mask wearing. It's conditioning. It's you thinking you're patriotic to follow, you know, like a little sheep and do whatever the big brother tells you to do. I mean, it's just, it's unreal. Unreal.
Well, I had a young lady from Black Lives Matter on the show one time, and it was actually a really good show. And I had folks who had, because why she joined Black Lives Matter in the first place was that her husband was killed by police. So, you know, she was pissed off, you know?
Yeah, right.
Which is notably, you know, stuff happens. You know, there's a whole story, but I don't want to dive into her whole story, but I had brought people on whose loved ones were also killed by law enforcement, but they weren't killed by the patrolmen. They were killed by FBI agents or other type of law enforcement. And she was kind of like, wow, so they target you guys too. They just use different agencies. And like, yeah. And they frame us and they do all kinds of crazy stuff. And it was a breakthrough episode. Because, we opened her eyes, and I noticed still to this day that some of the folks that she linked up with on the show are still friends, and they still talk, and I think we bridged the gap on that.
Oh, well, that's good.
And they don't want...
Yeah, that's a good thing.
They don't want us to, you know, because I was like, we have the same gripes. We don't want militarized police. We don't want this. We don't want that. We have the same views on so many different issues, and they don't want you and me to know that our issues are the same. Except they, you know, because they keep us divided by race and religion and all this other stuff, because they know if you find out that my gripe is the same as yours, and they find out, everybody finds out we have the same gripes.
Yeah, common ground. Yep. And see, that's what the Constitution did, and that's what, you know, if you look at all the things they've destroyed, the family, the institution of marriage, God, I mean, you take all those things away. One of them at a time doesn't seem like a big deal. But if you put them all together and you realize that all your institutions are under attack, then you realize that's, you know, you got kids growing up being taught the wrong things. You got the values being taken away, and people are just getting away from the fundamental things that the forefathers wanted for the country. And unfortunately, freedom isn't free. And, you know, they always warned of a time when, you know, your freedoms could be in jeopardy. And, you know, and I like to say that that's what elections are for. You know, you always, that's your deal is you could go to the ballot, cast your vote, make your voice heard. And hopefully the majority of the people would see through whatever, and that would correct the country. And it's worked for many, many years. That system has worked.
Yeah.
But what happened in 2020 is a disgrace.
Yeah, absolutely. It's horrifying. So we're closing in here on the end of the broadcast. What's in the future for Jim Benvie and his journalistic endeavors to bring truth?
Well, you know, right now I just got out. I'm reconnecting with people. And as usual, I was laughing because you and I are usually the first to connect. And that's a true story. I mean, usually it's you're like one of the first people. I don't know if it's by accident, coincidence, or fate, but that's usually how it works. And so my future really, one thing I still have to do, I have 1 year of supervised release. So it's not intensive, but it does require that I be a little extra careful for the year. I'm really not going to try to put myself in situations, at least over the next year, where they can manufacture a charge and tie me up again, because I think it's very important, especially, I hope we win the midterms. We have to win those midterms. If we don't, we're going to lose the country. But if we win the midterms and we get Trump in there running, I still think we're going to see a DeSantis-Trump ticket. But if we see that ticket, it's going to be very important that come February until the end of 24, I'm not on any type of probation. I'm not obligated to any law enforcement or have anything hanging over my head, because I do plan to go full steam and do whatever I have to do to make sure that whatever the issue is at the time, whatever's going on, much like yourself, you do a lot of the same thing. You know, you're faithful to your show every week and your listeners, and you're always there if somebody wants to tune in and get a unique interview or whatever and listen to topics. They can always tune you in as an alternative source. And, it's the same thing. We need to get as many people out there, and doing things so that we have the truth, because we can't rely on media sources. They're getting rid of OAN. They're getting rid of Newsmax. I mean, they're attacking every alternative source of news that wants to tell the truth. And, so we need people out there spreading the truth. And I do plan on trying to get on some other platforms, Mark, other than just Facebook. But, we're going to see what we can do. I'm going to work closely with everybody. However I can help with the campaigns, if Bannon has anything he wants me to do in specific, I'll be working with that.
If you happen to talk to Steve Bannon, we would love to have him come on the show just to say hello.
I bet he'd love to be on the show with you. I bet he would, or even better yet, maybe he'd want you to come on his show,
That'd be great.
But I'll definitely, when I talk to him, I will definitely let him know for sure. I have yet to talk to him since I've been out. There's a lot of communication issues because the people who were directly We Build the Wall employees are not allowed to talk to each other, because they're all under indictment and stuff. So a big part of the communication network from that side is gone. It's toast. That's what they like to do, divide everybody up. And even if you're not guilty, and even if you know you're not guilty, they still tie you up and inconvenience you, and you ruin your life for a year to a year and a half, in some cases more. Look at General Flynn, same thing.
Yep.
But
hey, we had him on the show.
We're gonna... Oh,
well,
you
not,
did? Okay,
not my,
good.
We had him on the network. He wasn't on my show, sorry.
Oh, okay. But yeah.
It was a great interview, though. My friend Gary Binford did the interview. He was amazing. It was an amazing interview. And
yeah.
I'm thinking the ticket I'm looking for in 24 is Trump Flynn.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And then in 28, I'm thinking DeSantis Gnome.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of options there. There's a lot of combos.
If we do that, we can stay in power for a long time and straighten this mess out, get back to the Constitution where we belong.
We can. Well, it'd be nice if we get rid of some of these rhinos, too. I'd love to see a nice America First group of senators and people in the House, and we could all – everybody could start focusing on getting back to normal and living their lives, and we could straighten things out, and this could really be a great place to live, a great country again.
If you watch the live feedback I got behind me, I don't know when I'm watching it, it's backwards. I don't know if it comes forward, but that's my friend Jack. He's running for Congress. He is a Black Robe Regiment pastor. The Black Robe Regiment was vital in the Revolution. They were the soapbox standers that would stand up and bring the information to the people at church, because that's where everybody would gather. And the Black Robe ministers were extremely important to the revolution of our country. And he's running for Congress. In my district.
What's his last name? What's his last
Jack
name?
Jack Martin for Congress, District 11, Hernando County, Florida. Yes.
Okay. I'll have to look him up. Oh, and one other thing I'll let you know. I am in your beautiful state of Florida. This is where I'm going to be for the next year. Yeah, I'm in Jacksonville. So,
That's far away from me. That's 5 hours away. I'm all the way
you're down
to Tampa.
Oh, okay. I know where you are. Okay. Yep. That's still Northern District. I can go over there. I'm still. So when I get over there, maybe I'll give you a call. We'll hook up and have dinner or something.
Okay.
But so I'm down here for the probation. I wasn't going to do my supervised release in a liberal state. Wasn't going to do it. So I figured, you know what?
Freedom.
Choosing between. Exactly. So, and I didn't want to get stuck with any weird COVID, lockdowns or shutdowns or mandates. So you can't go to the restaurant. You can't eat. I didn't want to see the misery of watching friends go out of business,
Right.
So that's why I like to be down here, and it's fresh air and you got the ocean and all kinds of palm trees and everything else. So we're doing good here. We're doing good here so far.
Yes, indeed. Well, I want to thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure, and we'll keep in touch and do some more shows as you get back in the swing of things.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. And if you need anything at all, let me know, boss, okay?
Amen. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We are here at the end of another fine episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Next Thursday, 8 p.m., I have a gentleman. He's from out of North Carolina. His name is Randy, and his story is pretty incredible, involving Child Protective Services here in Florida, Department of Children and Families. They're all over the place. But his case is really crazy. You will not believe how they took his kid and all this stuff. It's an incredible story. He became a whistleblower. He was hooting and hollering and trying to get the truth out. So we're going to do another story on truth, Child Protective Services. It is legalized child trafficking by the federal government. It really is. It's kind of crazy what they do and what they get into. But that's going to be next Thursday with my good buddy Randy, live on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. All right, folks, you want to stick around. This is a really cool tune. This is by my good friend Dave Ray, DaveRayUSA.com. Music on a Mission Storyteller Edition has this version. I'd like you all to check it out. I'm going to raise the flag behind me. We're going to play the Star Spangled Banner as only Dave Ray can rock it. We love his version, so here we go. see you all next week. Thanks for tuning in. Like I said, take care, folks. Peace out.